If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN, joined by former Blackhawks defenseman. You see him on pre and post game coverage on CSN, Steve Conroy. Before we get started with Steve, can't get enough of Chicago sports. Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. All right, Steve Conroy, Hawks have won 17 of 20. 17 of 20. And they have erased that deficit in the Central Division. Beginning of February, they were 6 points back of the Wild. They now lead them by 7. Is there any common theme you've seen from, say, February till now that has, catapulted the Hawks to this spot?
Yeah, I think a couple things. Maybe the biggest thing is the best players are the best players each and every night. And, you know, I remember earlier in the season, the goaltenders, who are great players, but goaltenders were stealing games. Marian Hossa, who has, embraced that third line role, he was really a big part of the first half of the season. But then in February, really seemed like Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, the face of the franchise, really started to pick up their game. And, you know, with that increase in production from the two stars, I think it really elevated everybody else, the whole team. And, you know, now you're seeing them win games that maybe they shouldn't be winning. And it's not just those two guys. I mean, I interviewed Jonathan Toews last night after the game, and he said a common theme has been all four lines, and that's certainly true. The depth on this team right now is as good as it's ever been, whether it's the top four lines or the top six defensemen. But, you know, I think it still all kind of boils back to when you get your best players firing in all cylinders, it's really tough for other teams to A, shut those down, or, B, try to keep a lid on all four lines, because, they're typically stacking up against those guys, and that'll allow, maybe some of those other lines to chip in with some goals. So, everyone's playing well. The D are chipping in offensively. Last night they did it again. So I think the common theme among this great run has been, the stars have been shining, and you've got four lines capable of scoring and 60 and two goalies who are playing world class right now.
So here's a question for you, Steve Conroy. Patrick Kane has 17 goals and 30 points since February 1st to put him back in a great spot to win this scoring title for a second straight year. But with Artem Anisimov out of the lineup, handicap his chances with, Nick Schmaltz and others trying to fill the skates of Anisimov here the next few weeks?
Well, good question. I mean, I think it hurts a little bit, but even last night, Kaner without Anisimov gets a goal and an assist. Prior to that, I guess he was shut out against the Toronto Maple Leafs, but he's still chipping in with points here and there. I think it's going to be, a collective effort. And with Patrick Kane, the focus isn't going to be on him winning the scoring race. But, if he gets his looks 5-on-5, I think where he really does a lot of damage lately has been on the power play. And if he can keep getting those looks on the power play, and, typically if you ever watch him out there, he stays out for almost the full 2 minutes. I think he's capable of doing it. It's certainly going to hurt his chances a little bit because, listen, when Anisimov's in the lineup, you get him parked in front of the net, drawing attention. You get Patrick Kane doing his thing, whether it's, circling around the outside, trying to find somebody open or taking it to the net himself. I think he's going to miss that big centerman. But, that all being said, I think Nick Schmaltz fit in very well. Maybe last night wasn't his best game between Anisimov and Kane. And, what I love about Joel Quenneville is when he realizes that, he's not afraid to put 19 in there. And we saw Jonathan Toews between Anisimov make that Panarin and Kane. So, I guess the short answer is because it's Patrick Kane and his compete level and you know how much you know, leading the NHL means to him. I think he's still very capable of doing it.
Let's go to Nick Schmaltz. You mentioned him. Look, I think he's been, you know, of the first-year players, one of the true bright spots, a different player since he spent time in Rockford. I think he's a big part of the reason why Panic and Taves have had success on that top line. But now as the centerman at times for Panarin and Kane, his issues at the faceoff circle are glaring. I think among centermen with, you know, at least 200 draws, he's at the bottom or right near close to that. Yannick Perreault works with these guys at the faceoff circle. How much can we expect to see Nick improve in that area?
Well, I think you'll see some improvement because a lot of taking faceoffs is, you know, just getting used to the routine and getting used to guys. And remember, for good chunks of this season, he's been playing left wing, and then, you know, all of a sudden he gets thrown back into the middle. And I know he'd been taking some draws prior to that, but listen, with the Blackhawks being on the road as much as they had, and then, you know, even that Canada trip, they weren't able to practice, and then Yannick Perreault wasn't able to get out with the centerman. He typically comes on off after practice and works with the four or five guys who take draws on a regular basis. So, you know, I think with Nick Schmaltz, it's just going to be familiarity of the routine, getting to know guys, their tendencies on other teams. And I think, too, he's got to maybe get a little lower. I mean, he's not a huge guy, but he's over 6 feet, and it's a real advantage to get down as low as you can and to use your feet if you can, too. And
right.
A lot of times he's just trying to win draws, you know, cleanly with his hands, just picking the puck off the ice and pulling it back, where, you know, you see Marcus Kruger so good at tying up a guy's stick, twisting his body in there and kicking it back with his feet. So, you know, I'm sure these will be things that that Yannick Perreault works with Nick Schmaltz on, and I think more than anything, just the experience and the repetition of being in that faceoff circle is really going to help him.
Blackhawk fans have been introduced to John Hayden now in the last week. Just over a week ago, he's finishing up his collegiate career at Yale. The Hawks sign him last Sunday. He goes on the Canadian road trip, scores his first NHL goal in Toronto, plays again against Colorado. Boy, there's a lot to like about this guy. You know, he brings a skill set, Steve, that this team, you know, desperately needs. And depending on matchups in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's nice to have a guy that has a stat line of 7 hits, 3 shots on goal, and, oh, by the way, maybe an assist or a goal.
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't he remind you of playoff Bickle?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Brian Bickle used to be that guy in the playoffs. He'd get on the body, he'd shoot the puck, he'd park himself in front of the net, and that's what we've seen from John Hayden. And I think, Pat, more than anything is, you know, the body of work we've seen thus far, and what, it's been 3 games, he's just been getting better and better each game. And I love the fact that he started out just doing the simple things, just getting to the front of the net and getting on the body. You know, that's something you can do almost each and every shift. And that's something he's really tried to do. And you mentioned that big goal in Toronto. He gets his first goal. Now he's got some confidence. He feels like, hey, I belong here. And, you know, he's playing with that confidence. And I think it really shone through in that game against Colorado. 2 huge helpers. Not easy plays, but again, you know, doing that dirty work in front of the net, and he chips in with a couple of helpers. So I guess now his stat line reads a goal and 2 assists in 3 games. That's a point per game. Not bad for, as you mentioned, a guy who was playing against Harvard as a Yale Bulldog just a little over 7 days ago.
And with now Hayden in the mix, it's going to make for some tough decisions for Joel Quenneville. When Anisimov gets healthy, we expect to see Marian Hossa on Tuesday night. When you look at some of the guys that are going to be fighting to stay among the active 12 forwards, you're looking at, guys like Yurko and Desjardins and Tutu. And I guess you'll put, you know, Hayden and others in that mix. But, like, of those guys that are fighting, Can you handicap that a little bit here? What have you seen from Yurko the last couple of games? And, you know, somebody like Andrew Desjardins, where does he fit into the puzzle?
Yeah, well, you know, Desjardins brings something. He's got experience. And listen, he's been through a Stanley Cup grind before. You know, whether he was in, you know, San Jose, not that he got to the Stanley Cup Finals with San Jose, but he did play in some key playoff games there. Of course, with the Blackhawks, he's played in some key playoff games. You know, I think Yurko, he's been playing better. He's been trending in the right direction. He might be one of the first guys out. Let's say Marian Hossa can play tomorrow night. I think Thomas Yurko would probably be the first guy out. And then you're probably looking at, as you mentioned, Desjardins, and then if they had to, Jordan Tootoo. But, you know, Tootoo's been great. The role he's had on the fourth line, he's been getting on the body. He's been chipping in with the odd point. And, you know, Desi is a great penalty killer, and all of a sudden you see him killing some penalties now. So, you know, that's the thing with Joel. If you're going to be in his lineup, if you can do more than one thing, you know, like Marcus Kruger, great defensively, but he's a real good penalty killer too, and you can throw him out there if the draw's in your end with another centerman, and he can be that backup guy just in case the regular center gets thrown out, and he can take it. So if you can fulfill more than kind of one role, you're going to stay in the lineup. And I think, you know, that's where John Hayden has really impressed me. He's been getting on the body. He's been going to the front of the net, and he's been doing what he's been told by the coaching staff. And, you know, seems like a very coachable kid, and that's what you absolutely love. And, you know, another thing, Jonathan Toews, I heard him talking to the other reporters after the game last night saying that, you know, his youthful enthusiasm kind of rubs off on him. And I know Johnny's still young at, what, 28 years, 29 years of age? But, you know, he's been in the NHL for over 10 years now, and it gets to be a grind. But then when you see a fresh face and a new kid who's, you know, just happy to be around and everything's brand new to him, I think it gives you a little extra life. So, and you know, those are the kinds of things that Hayden brings. But, you know, I think as far as, yeah, eventually somebody who's getting a regular shift now will have to sit out. But you know what the playoffs are like, Pat, and somebody's going to get hurt, and somebody's going to get sick, and somebody's going to get thrown into the action, and they better be ready. And right now it looks like everybody's ready.
More with Steve Conroy on the Hawks Talk podcast. We'll get his thoughts on what Johnny Oduya has done to the Blue Liners since his return to the Blackhawks. And what does Steve think of the struggles of the Minnesota Wild as of late?
It's sports, it's social, it's viral. It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show. In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago. And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
If you travel out of the area for work, no worries. Take the Blackhawks on the go, no matter where you are within the continental United States. Stream every CSN Blackhawks game live online at csnchicago.com and with the NBC Sports app on your mobile device or tablet.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day. David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities. Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, Pat Boyle and Steve Conroy. We will have the Hawks' next game against Vancouver. That is Tuesday, March 21st. We will have our pregame at 7 o'clock. Johnny Oduya should be back in the lineup on that night, given Sunday off. I think Joel and the coaching staff have been real smart with the back-to-backs, knowing the injuries that Johnny has had gone through with Dallas this year, being smart as they bring him back into the lineup. But what have you thought of just seeing Oduya back out there and what he has done to solidify that group of Blue Liners?
Yeah, you know, he's that calming influence. You know, he's blocking a lot of shots. I think he had, you know, five block shots in that last game he played in Toronto. And, you know, that's huge on the penalty kill. When you can block a couple, three shots on the penalty kill, you know, typically not only are you, you know, preventing a goal, but sometimes you're creating a turnover because you can get to that loose puck first. So, you know, first and foremost, defensively, he's really helped. And, hey, listen, we've seen Joel change the lineup since he's come back, since Johnny Oduya's come back. And, you know, originally he was playing with his fellow countryman, Nicklas Hjalmarsson, but now we see him paired up with Brent Seabrook, and I really like that look. I mean, I think it takes the defensive burden off of Seabrook a little bit. You know, he plays with Keith. I think he, and not the Duncan Keith run and gun type of defenseman, but you know, if Dunks wants to be offensive, I think you know, Brent Seabrook feels that he's got to be the guy back there. But now that you split them up, I think Brent Seabrook can be a little more offensive. You know that Johnny Oduya is going to be the guy, you know, covering up, and with Brent Seabrook, make that Duncan Keith and Nicholas Jalmerson. You know, Keith's got Jalmerson, and he knows that he's going to be back there. So, you know, I think splitting up those pairs seems to have given each of those guys some new life, all four of those guys some new life. But, you know, Johnny Oduya, our penalty killing, maybe the only sore spot through at least the first half of the season was the PK. It was down around 27th, 28th, 29th. You know, all of a sudden we've jumped up to 24th, 25th, which is tough to do this far into the season. But, you know, part of that is Johnny Oduya joining the team, and they haven't given up a lot of power play goals since he's been back with the Blackhawks.
So let's talk about those goalies. I think that's been a source of strength all season long. Both Darling and Corey Crawford have had to deal with, you know, various injuries that have knocked him out, the appendectomy, the hand injury for Darling. Darling's your save percentage leader right now in the clubhouse in the NHL. I think you feel, I mean, obviously this is Corey's crease, but you feel really comfortable with both guys as we play these final 10 games and gear up for another run at the Stanley Cup.
Well, gosh, why wouldn't you? Six wins in a row now for Scotty Darling. And, you know, going into the hockey game, or even last night, you know, six wins, I think he's only given up about a goal and a half per game. So, you know, you're looking between the pipes, and you've got a 1A and a 1B, really, in Corey Crawford and Scott Darling, and all sorts of confidence. So, you know, should anything happen, whether it's an injury or let's say a guy starts to struggle, you know, Joel Quenneville knows that he's got two guys capable of starting for anyone in the NHL. And I think where it really helps, too, is the guys in front of him. And, you know, if Corey was to go down with an injury or fatigue or whatever it is, they look back and see Scotty Darling, they don't change their game one bit. They're not worrying about, you know, a rookie goaltender or, oh, a guy who's, you know, not quite as good as our number one. They have his full confidence. And it's, I can tell you as a former player, that's kind of comforting to know that you don't have to really change your game, and you can still take chances and be aggressive because you've got a guy back there who can shut the door. And that's what Scotty Darling has done all year. Like you mentioned it early, that the best save percentage in the NHL with guys more than, you know, 25 starts or even 20 starts, that's tough to do. And that's pretty consistent. He's played, you know, I think it's almost 30 games now. So to be able to, you know, accomplish that this late in the season, that's quite an accomplishment for Scott Darling.
You made a great point on Post Game Live the other day that the teams that have made, you know, significant trade deadline moves have gone through some problems. In Minnesota Wild, just two wins in their last 10. They've lost five straight. They're now 7 points back of the Blackhawks. Can you put your finger on what it is that this team is going through, and does it signal anything big picture with you know, 10 or 11 games to go before the playoffs?
Well, I think it could be. You know, I saw Bruce Boudreau in his post-game press conference last night, and he started answering a question, and he stopped, and in the second question, he started answering that and then just left the press conference. He said he didn't want to say something he was going to regret. So, you know, to me, I think that's starting to get to him a little bit, and you know, typically when you look at a team, you know, the team assumes the character, or at least the temperament of the coach. And he seemed to be really frustrated. I don't want to say panicking, but, you know, certainly frustrated. And I think that's how they're playing right now. They're not getting the goaltending they were getting the first, you know, 45, 50 games of the year. They're not getting the goal scoring they're getting. And, you know, they just can't fall back on anything right now because they had so much success early. Everything came easy, and now they're kind of pushing up against it, and it's pushing back, and there's no, you know, there's no pushback from them. So, you know, maybe it all started here in Chicago. You know, the Blackhawks went into Minnesota a couple of times, beat them, but here in Chicago, only I think it was maybe 2.5, 3 weeks ago, Devan Dubnyk gets pulled after the first two shots on net. It's 2-0 early, and at the time he was leading the NHL in goals against and save percentage. And, you know, I thought that it was a real short leash as far as Bruce Boudreau goes in pulling his goalie. And, you know, since then, and then the other thing you mentioned, and I totally agree, they made a pretty significant add at the trade deadline, Martin Hanzel. And he's not a top six forward, but they did put him in that number three hole. He's a third-line center. That bumped Eric Halla, who was having a fantastic season, out of that role and pushed him down to the fourth line. And that seems to have upset the chemistry on this team. So you add all that stuff together, I would say it's fair to say they're in a free fall right now. They're not going to drop out of the playoff picture. But, you know, you want to be peaking at the right time. You know, right now they're in a nosedive, and then they got to pull out of this thing pretty quickly because, you know, what are we looking at? Maybe 3 weeks left in the regular season. There's not a lot of time, and they got to get it fixed fast.
Last one for you, Steve. You take a look at the standings right now. The Hawks in the top spot in the West with 99 points. If they were to stay in that spot, they would take on Nashville. Nashville and the Blues are kind of fighting between the third spot in the Central and the final wild card spot. So the Hawks could face either, you know, Nashville or St. Louis. If they ended up dropping and Minnesota overtake them, kind of the same situation, St. Louis or Nashville, the likely opponent. But as you look at the standings, they're only 1 point back for the President's Trophy. Washington and Columbus, both with 100 points. Don't you think maybe the focal point these final 10 games is trying to win the President's Trophy to have home ice advantage if you do get to the Stanley Cup Finals? And certainly you'd have it throughout in the Western Conference.
Hey, why not? I mean, I think the Blackhawks are always looking for motivation, whether it's, you know, first in the division, first overall, scoring races, you know. But that all being said, it just seems like not a lot of teams that win the President's Trophy go on to win the Stanley Cup. I think the Blackhawks did do it one time
2013.
In the last
7 years.
Yeah, 2013. Yeah,
that was, that was a shortened year, though.
It was a shortened year, yeah. So it just seems like there's not a strong correlation there. Not that it's going to prevent them from winning the league if they could. But, yeah, I think that's one thing the Blackhawks are really good at is not, you know, just coasting and resting on their laurels. They're always setting, you know, small goals for themselves. And I think that's a real good goal, you know. Hey, listen, I was the first one to tell you, I think it was 4 weeks ago, I didn't think the Blackhawks would be able to overtake the Minnesota Wild. Well, you know, look at how wrong I was, and look at how far ahead of the Wild they are. So, you know, they very well could win the league. I don't think it's going to be their focus. It'd be great to have home ice through the entire playoffs, you know, if they make it to the finals. But I think it's kind of nice for them to have as far as a benchmark to shoot for. You know, there's always an important game, and that's something else to look forward to.
Great stuff, Steve Conroy. We'll see you Tuesday night for pregame live on CSN as we get ready for the Hawks and the Canucks. Thanks for doing this.
All right, Pat, anytime. Thanks.
If you can't get enough of Chicago sports, visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. That'll do it for the Hawks Talk podcast. We'll see you next time.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.